Do you remember what you came away with that?
I mean, letting my mind drift, sounds became very poignant. My mind drifted to, you know, as I relaxed and allowed myself to be, okay, so maybe this is a long time then. And my mind would drift to, like, my family and other meaningful people in my life like that, just naturally. Things like that, and I don't know. I would hear, like, creeps and, like, hold my breath instinctively, little things like that. And then, like, it's worth it just once I got out, you know, after an hour or something, I'd walk around and realize where I was sore.
Oh.
So, you know, it's like, it's not required, it's not necessary.
No, but you took that extra step.
Thing, but it's
well,
like...
That's commendable. I really, just listening to that, that's really, I think that is really commendable, especially I think it's almost like a sign of respect as well, especially for the, because there are people who've gone through that.
Exactly.
And so to have suffered like that, I think it's almost like you would be doing them a disservice to not at least sense something. So I think what you were doing is really a sign of respect in a way. I need to, the slightest way that I could possibly even understand what it must be like to be as a human being, to be tied up in a place you don't know anything about, and then what it does to your body and what it does to your mind, and then how do you make sense of this? So that's commendable what you did for that.
That was just preliminary.
It wasn't some hokey little, okay, I gotta do something.
You know, it was just preliminary just to get something visceral. I mean, there's other stuff too. I read a lot of different memoirs and stuff just to get a personal reflective.
Nice.
So, what did I read? I read Victor E. Frankl's A Man's Search for Meaning. It's a Holocaust memoir.
Yes.
And it very much helped me out. And, like, I read his. I even read John McCain's Prisoner of War memoir.
No,
it was less poetically written.
Yeah. Well, in his time, he did something.
And granted, no, I mean, right. When it got to his 5 years
that's what I'm talking.
Pretty much isolation. There's actually a great similarity between the two. And then another one of someone trapped in the jungles of Colombia. You know, I lost my drive. that one was not so fun. But they, you know, and then it was like, what similarities do the people share? And where I found a similarity is, like, as he put it, is finding, he says, as the great poets of the past always say, salvation is found in love and through love.
Yeah.
And I found that so striking that they would spend, if it was John McCain, if it was these Holocaust survivors, that they would create this world around them in order to keep their mind activated. Because if you dwell on your current situation, you could do that for a couple of days, but imagine weeks. You find in their studies of people on going, you'll find psychological effects after less than a week in isolation, right? So, like, to go tenfold back. So this is, and you see that in Blessing's writing.
Right, absolutely.
So, like, that's what helped me. I found these ramblings he had on the beach about his office.
So beautiful.
It became less of a game for him, a survival technique. So, you know, that raised the stakes. And consequently, it actually connected me so much to my personal world that I was creating. Obviously, I'm not going to create a fictitious office. I'm going to create a room of my own.
Right.
And blindfolded, I'm going to have a lover of my own. I'm going to have my family back home.
Right.
And I would find myself just like being overwhelmed by the prospect of that in my own life.
Mm.
While I'm just sitting on the stage, often with my family in the audience.
Mm. You mean the gut fit, the loss of it? Or creating what?
I mean, it's a... The way I went about it is... I wasn't working on making myself sad, per se.
That's sort of going back to method. Go ahead.
Right. Yes. You know, it's like any sort of emotional place you're going to be in is going to be a side effect.
Right.
Of something that you're trying to do.
Especially in this art, this craft.
And, yes, they're fellow human beings watching me. They're going
to
know if I'm bullshitting or not.
Yes.
So you can't just like, okay, I'm going to be sad, one second. You know, I would, so it's more of making myself relaxed and available in like mm-hmm. a vulnerable place so that if I recall these things important to me, these people, these places, these objects, these memories, if I can get myself in a relaxed, vulnerable state, then recall them, and then give the hypothetical gone forever. That's pretty poignant and immediate to me. So I wasn't trying to be sad. I was actually living some very happy moments of my past and my childhood.
Right.
And saying, that's gone. Those people are gone.
So you weren't trying to be sad. You were sad.
I was pretty sad at times.
Of course. Like, you know, yeah.
You know, and that is the ongoing effort with every single actor. It's like,
yes.
You can't just reach out and grab an emotion. That's not how humans work. You know, it's like if you imagine if you lose someone close to you or something, if you see people going through that kind of grief, you know, there's moments of wailing, breaking down, but usually there's a self-defense mechanism that's triggered by something, because we don't like these feelings. We don't like them at all. This is not a fun thing to do. So we tense up, we lock up, we don't talk about it, we talk about the weather, and it just gets stuffed inside. That's the human thing.
Right.
Where's it going with that? That's what actors naturally do on stage, you know, is they have this physical tension that allows them not to express what they want.
But the battle is to get fight that.
Yes.
So that the art and the performance can work.
Yeah, and that's the hardest thing to do. It's like... It's the metaphor that that Brandon uses. It's like your emotions are like a bunch of puppies, you know, all around in your room, and you want that specific puppy, you know, with the brown ear or something.
Yeah.
You're not gonna just run around and chase it because he's gonna run away and there's you're gonna get lost in the other pack. You just have to like sit there and like they all come over, you relax, there he's sniffing you.
That. So it has to come to you. And that means the time, the effort, and the hours, and...
Yeah, I mean the...
The craft of how much of rehearsal did you do before the actual... And as rehearsing, do things change? Okay, we don't want to do it this way, let's do it that way. Does that happen? Like, it's an organic experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I would perhaps, like, you know, read one of the scenes, expect it to go in a certain direction, and kind of deviate that way, and then after some rehearsing, realize this doesn't feel right. This isn't going to a sense, you know, to this place. It's going to more of he's not going to be effusive. It doesn't show that in the writing. You know, he's going to be there's some sort of something holding him back. So, like, okay, so we hit the books again.
Okay.
We try to figure out how we achieve that, you know.
Going back to that, what I spoke to you about over the phone, the reading, the work, that I can't get away from that. I mean, I teach literature, I teach novels, and of course plays, Shakespeare. And as a person who watches theater, I cannot help but see how could there not be this. You guys can't help but work together, the writer and the actor, you know. And how much of that is on you to be able to read this work, person's work, get it, really get it, and then make it your own. As someone said, you read this writer's work, you make it your own, and miraculously you show it to someone in a way that it's never been shown before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that when I think of that, I think of, you have to be a reader, and not just a reader. You have to be a thinking reader. You have to be an analyst. You have to have, there's some kind of a literary background that has to come with that. Something. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you need to. You need to read the play with a lot of respect to the writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got to that realization with this last one, of the depth that it got me to and hit me with, is if you think that the writer took this time to do this, and he wrote for 8 months or for a year or something, and he wrote this character with an intention in mind, you can, the character that you are undertaking as a passing of some sort of torch or something, there's a lot of responsibility in that.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, you're also representing a human. Like, this is not a autobiography. It's not specifically about one of these captives, the name's escaping me, but like, it might as well be about one of them, a man who existed, who went through this ordeal. And when you realize that you're representing a person and not just some caricature or something, the responsibility that gives you a respect to encompass this person to the fullest.
Mm. When you read Blessing's play, I could see the controversial element there. There's a controversial, could be taken as a controversial play to a degree, especially in light of 9/11 and everything. There's something that the city is still struggling with even after all this time, and the politics and everything. And from what I gather, he was being very even-handed. I thought he was being very fair.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't. No one is innocent. And those wonderful memories that Michael has, and you remember us, what we did when we went to this country, and like what we did to the people, Shiloh and all this. We wanted the earth. We wanted this dirt. We just don't remember it. We don't feel like that anymore, but they do. That takes a lot of takes a lot of courage to even write that, or even to equate, or even say find parallels between us and a group that, for the most part, in the media and by a lot of writers have not been humanized. Really, what did you take of that? How did you see it? If you did agree with it, were you, you did you, but you were still able to communicate it. Do you find yourself sometimes in that, those situations, where you'll find something that's a controversial play or is political, and there are things that I don't, you don't necessarily even agree with, but you're playing this role?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very fair. I don't think he came out with any sort of philosophy to try to give to the audience.
No, that's right.
And there's a courage to it because I think there's less to hide behind if you're just painting the picture of human life than to try to write some sort of play, you know, some political thing to rally the troops. Because
right.
then is, there's an engine larger than yourself.
Yeah.
And this is just me presenting the picture. And, like, I there's nothing to disagree with the play.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing that Lee Blessing is saying is, like, all this stuff happens.
Yeah. And then walks away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
He's not like, these people are evil, these
right.
people are evil. It's just, this stuff happens. Thought I'd let you know.
Yeah. And you saw that. Like, this is, but